Every conversation is the base in relationships. We the topic of discussion. What's the gossip? Who she?
Yo, 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 what's up? It's Big Lex with the Reality Table. I got some UGA guests. Kenny Gaines, Ty Gurley, Rennie Curran, and my special guest co-host, Miss April Sykes. We about to lay it down at Brand X Studios. Rock with us. Let's do it.
Welcome back, Big Lex, the Reality Table. I got some special guests in the building today. My special guest co-host for today is April Sykes, because we just don't fit in with this, but we about to make it happen, okay? We got some Bulldogs in the building. Kenny Gaines, UGA basketball. Rennie Curran, UGA football. Mr. Todd Gurley, UGA football. How y'all doing today, people?
We're good. We're great.
Yeah.
Appreciate you having us.
Happy
on.
Happy MLK Day to everyone.
Keep the dream alive.
You know
Keep it alive. So look, we got a couple questions. So this is how we're going to start it off. I'm going to say the questions, but then we're going to get into it, okay? Identity shift. How has your identity changed since stepping away from competitive sports? Skill transfer. What skills from your sports experience do you think was most beneficial in your personal or professional life? And then challenges faced. What challenges have you encountered during your transition, and how have you addressed them? So if you don't know, the name of this episode is The Transition. So I wanted to grab some Georgia folks, some people who really got some names out here, who really did what they did for their school. And UGA is one of the best, you know, from Georgia that I could say. You know, I wish I could have went there, but they found me a little too late. So I was actually better in track. So Georgia offered me for track. Wasn't working out. I wanted to go to school for basketball. And then by the time they came around, this was before you could transfer, all the portals they got going on. I think I was a sophomore in college. My friend Andrew Robinson was on the basketball team, was trying to get me to transfer, but I would have sat out another year, so I was like, forget it. But the biggest question I want to know before we get into the main questions is, how has life changed for y'all since you played sports and now transitioning into what you're doing now? So I know y'all were the dogs of the dogs, you know? So, you know, there's a high caliber celebrityism right there. You know, you can't really go nowhere. You know, so how has that changed for you guys now? Stop with Todd.
Okay.
You just go down the line, I guess, right?
Yeah. I guess for me not playing anymore, my life's more a little bit more simple for the most part. But I would say as I transitioned out, I was done at 26. Now I'm 30. But I would say for me it was more about family, like now in these last couple of years. I wasn't there like mentally with them as much as I was like physically. They would come to the game, so but I'd be at the hotel, or we lose, now I'm mad or whatever like that. But now it's like none of that really matters. Like I'm back for birthdays, holidays, you know, for my nieces, nephews and all that. So I feel like I'm just more present like in the family life, and then especially me just having a little daughter, like it's just even better. So I've been enjoying it. Like it's been like perfect.
Oh, that's cute. Motivational speaker, Mr. Kern.
Yeah, so, boy, how has it shifted? In so many ways, I would say the biggest thing when I think about my days at University of Georgia, and we can all identify with this, like how much of the fact that you're in a bubble when you're playing. It's your whole world. It's your whole life. It's your whole identity from the time you're 5 to 10 years old or whenever you start. And there's certain things that you don't have to work on while you're playing. Like your life and who you really are, what your real identity is. And so as I shifted out, and there were certain things that I thought I knew when I played about myself, the first thing I had to do was I had to uncover who I really was in terms of my skills, who I was in terms of my values outside of the jersey, because you got a certain set of values when you're wearing that jersey. And when you take that thing off, you know, you have a certain set of personal values, core values. And if you don't know what that is, it starts to become an inner conflict. Because who I was, Rennie Curran was as a linebacker, had to shift in terms of Rennie Curran as the man, especially being a father and all those other identities. And so that was a really big part of my transition in terms of life was, man, starting to peel back those layers, understanding who I was, but then doing that deep inner work to understand, like, all those things that impacted me in that jersey. And I'll give you a perfect example, like the fact that I was considered undersized in my position mm-hmm. as a linebacker. So everything about me was about getting to the next level. Everything about me was about never being satisfied. But that created a lot of insecurities and things that impacted me in other areas of my life that I didn't even realize. Mm. And so a lot of work that I had to do was like understanding even those things that might have helped me in sports, but that hurt me in other areas of my life. So I could talk, you know, for days about just how my identity has shifted, but I can say that I have much more clarity on who I am holistically, not just as a linebacker, but holistically as a man. That's one of the ways my mm-hmm. identity has really, really shifted. And I really understand that I have so much more value than just hitting somebody. Mm. And that's been the greatest blessing.
Mm. No, that's true.
Miss Sykes. April Sykes here, a Scarlet Knight. My school was red and black too, okay? Let me just let everybody know that now. I played at Rutgers University. But I think just being like a top athlete and always being in that space where you gotta be the best, and then like doing my career, I struggled with injuries, you know? From being a young girl from a small town in Mississippi, I had this dream of just playing basketball. I didn't know where it was gonna take me. I just knew I loved the game. And then when I got my injuries, I had to sit back and be like, damn, who am I? You know?
Yeah.
And you know, my auntie had this saying, like, who you are is way more important than what you do. As a young girl, I used to be like, man, what I do is important. You know, right. I didn't think twice about it right. until I really got the injuries and I saw how other people were treating me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was this, that. And then when I got the injuries, like, them same people weren't picking up my calls no more. Mm-hmm. Or them same people would be like, man, you should have listened to me. It would never happen. Sometimes God just, it happens.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I think what was important for me is where I chose to go to school at. If I didn't go to Rutgers and play for Coach Stringer, who instilled at being like a woman, standing up in rooms, never making yourself feel small, and focusing on being a great person, a great human outside of just the athlete, I wouldn't be able to be where I am today. Because I know a lot of people that I help now, like, they go through depression. I've been there, done that, you know? And I had to figure, I had to talk to God more and be like, yo, what's my purpose? I thought it was to put the ball in the hoop. Yeah, I'm good at that, but I'm great at what I'm doing now because it fulfills me still. Because when I was trying to figure out, like, damn, what I'm about to do is not going to make me wake up every day and be depressed as hell. Because I'm not able to run up and down that court. It's pouring to other people for me. And I think a part of like just being that athlete, I'm still a competitor in my field.
Right.
I done retired, but I ain't really retired because I'm still in the game. I'm not out of the game. I train, I coach, I consult, I go watch games, I touch kids' lives. Like, Kenny got one of my kids at his team that texts me all the time, like, yo, coach, I get it now. I'm like, what you get? You know? He just texted me the other day, like, I'm like, no, I need you to articulate, like, what you get. Oh, stop rushing. Like, it come easy once we figure out the game better. Like, that what matters to me, and that what makes me excited every day. So it's like, when I be trying to tell people, and we were just talking about this, it's the relationships you get in this shit, too. Like, I can get in rooms, and I can be around people because of, they know my character. They know my personality. They know what my name, what weight my name hold, and it's just like, and it's respected. Like, you know, I can go around a bunch of NBA guys, it's respect.
Yeah.
Because they know when I bounce that ball, no, she was really liked it.
Yeah.
You know, facts. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, a lot of people don't figure that out until the back end. So you see a lot of us working that, I ain't knocking these like FedEx, like UPS or going back, and they don't know their identity. And I looked up this word one time, it was called like adolescent adult. Because when we when we pros and we high level athletes, everybody do everything for us.
Right.
When I injured myself when I was playing with the sport, I didn't know how to set up physical therapy. Man, I was showing up to physical therapy every day, not knowing these people charging me. All I'm thinking, like, I broke my tibia.
Right.
All I'm thinking, like, bro, I got to get back playing. And you know, they just finessing me. They was like, you going to be back tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, damn. Boy, I get that bill and say $3,500. I said, what the hell I'm paying for insurance? And then I go ask the lady. She was like, oh, your insurance only cover twice a week. What? Why the hell y'all ask me if I was coming back? It's just like the little things that athletes, we don't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Dentist appointment, like,
oh, what, yeah, man.
We don't know that in a professional too. Like, hey, man, you set my appointment. When they going to do my MRI? Everybody done stuff for us our whole career. Mm-hmm. And then when you get on the back end, you got to learn life.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Back to know, yeah.
Like, we ain't really grown when we in our profession. Yeah, we grown, we getting the money, we got the freedom and all that, but we not really adults until you get on the other side. And that's what I learned in being in that space. And, like, that's why I be trying to get everybody to understand, boy, you don't even know life yet. Yeah. Like, it's different, for real.
Yeah, man, for real. You don't know life. You don't know life. I think for me, the transition was, it had a really strong up and then a really strong down. When I stepped away from the game, it was during COVID, and I had battled coming back from two Achilles tears, which is crazy, especially in today's game. But so COVID hit, I ended up starting a business, KG Luxury Lease. Mm-hmm. I was renting out cars and doing Airbnb all in the same clique. And I was making a lot of money. The pandemic, everybody was coming to Atlanta. So I was like, yeah, y'all come on. We shut down for 2 weeks now. We back monkeying. Like, that's good. Mm. So I was making a lot of money. And I wasn't really, like, focused on going back to basketball, which I felt like was my purpose at that time. I was just like, hey, it's another way to make the same kind of money, but now I'm domestic. Like, it's cool with me. So when I got the opportunity to go back and play basketball, I was like, all right, well, what's the contract look like? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing that in 2 weeks here. And I'm at the house with my mom. I'm able to make it to church. I'm able to, you know, like you said, be present, be a part of my family, especially with me playing overseas. It was a lot of things that I missed from holidays, Christmas, New Year's, even my birthday because it's during basketball season. My mom's birthday because it's 2 days after mine. Like, just a lot of things that I missed being overseas. So I was really happy that I was at home and able to make that shift work for me. And then ended up with a bad business partnership and ended up losing everything. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sitting at the point where it's like, man, I wish at least I was back overseas where I wasn't in the face of my people while I'm dealing with this tough time in life, because I ended up losing all my money, lost all my cars, all my properties, like everything. And I was like, wow, like, at least when I was overseas and I was going through things, like, nobody could see me on the daily. Mm-hmm. Like, they just saw whatever I put on Instagram. And so they were like, oh, man, you had a good game, this, that, and the third. And they just living my life through the internet. Now, I got to show up in the faces of folks, or I'm at church and people like, hey, man, like, your spirit down. It's like, man, yeah, I just lost 40K yesterday in the vehicle. Like, yeah, my spirit down, and stuff like that. So it had a really strong up and a really strong down. I'm glad that God kind of took me through both of those swings, just because it allowed me to really know who I was outside of basketball in a different way. I think I didn't really sit down and think about it because it was just a way to make money. Like, I always tell people, like, I never loved the game of basketball. I really liked it, and it was fun, and I liked what it did for me. But I never just had, like, a love for the game. So when I had to take a pivot, it was like, okay, cool. If I'm making the same amount of money, I'm really straight. Like, I just go work out, you know, just stay in shape on my own, get up some shots for therapy. But now I ain't got to worry about really getting injured trying to make this, you know what I'm saying, like, a living for myself. And so God was like, I need to really take everything away from you so that you can really understand who you are. Outside of anything, money, basketball, you know, relationships, this, that, and the third, I need you to really kind of develop that relationship with me. And so when he took everything away, that's kind of, you know, the space that I ended up in, and which has led me to, like, our purpose, like, right. Why are we giving back to kids, using those experiences that we learned, me from being overseas, you in basketball, those lessons that we learned on the court that we able to kind of, you know, tell kids, like, hey, look, you can use this to be able to translate to life. Like, these same things apply. So, I'm definitely in a much better spot now, and I love what I'm doing. I'm just glad to be able to do it for real.
Yeah.
Black people love that.
You gotta take it all in, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
I got a question for real. Like, it's funny, though. Everybody had that stage when they was, like, transitioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was, like, did you ever get, like, a regular job? Not, no offense to regular jobs.
Yeah,
I want
people
to not be wrong, because when you make a certain amount of money, you're used to a certain lifestyle, you have to transition to this different space. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like, did you ever get like a regular job?
I fought it.
Let me answer that first. So let me tell you, the biggest, my story completely different than y'all's. Y'all all went to Georgia, Rutgers, but I went to McEachern. High school, you know who he is. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, okay.
But,
right. Maybe.
Okay, so I played basketball, volleyball, and track. I was that G in track.
Clemson, Georgia, everybody wanted me. But my heart was basketball. Mm-hmm. So I went to Gardner Webb, hated it, transferred, went to Albany State just to play with my homegirl. That's really what I did. Wanted to play with my homegirl. She said, come here. Took a visit. He offered me a ride. Didn't even see the video or anything. Just offered me a full ride. Okay, I'm coming. So get to Albany State. She quit the month before I got there.
Wow.
So I felt like, what is going on? So at this point, I'm giving you the play-by-play because I'm like my story's kind of like a Rennie. Like, I'm 5'4 and a half. Give me my half. And the thing is,
everything matters.
They ain't checking for 5'4", you feel me? So back then, we in VHS. Okay, I'm sending my VHS tapes to colleges myself. My coach felt like she wasn't helping me. Track was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, track, you run a time, everybody know about it. Basketball, they got to come find you. Cobb County went in Cobb County like it is now. So I'm sending VHSs. Then we went to DVDs. I said, shit, DVD, spark them out. But I went to Gardner Webb because they offered me a full ride for track. The basketball coach called my mom, tell her to take that. We just found out about her. She can come over to basketball after that.
Yeah.
Come there. It was some foolery. And I transferred. But long story short, graduated in 2010. I'm 38, by the way.
Nah.
I'm the oldest. Graduated 2010. Played semi-pro in Savannah. We finished. Came home. On the way home, literally in the car, somebody said, pull up to Georgia Tech. I said, all right, what are you doing? Bring your hoop shoes. Okay, pull up. Walk in. Lady cussing me out. Hurry up, put your shoes on. Boom, boom, sign the waiver. Practicing with the Atlanta Dream. Didn't know what I was walking into. They were in playoffs. Right after practice over, she said, look, you can say that you're on the Atlanta Dream practice team. You are part of the team. We're giving you gear, this. We can't pay you.
Mm.
We're giving you this. Oh, well, okay, let me put on my resume. Literally got a call a week later to go overseas because it was on my resume. So went overseas, took a trash contract. And listen, this is the first time I'm going to tell you. First, I ain't never told nobody this. I'm going to tell y'all. My first contract was $800 a month. Just to prove something, you know?
Yeah.
Took the contract, went over there. I was braiding hair on the boys' team. I was making websites. I was doing everything because I want to play.
Real trapper, man.
Real trapper die.
Licks. The big.
Listen.
Our stories are definitely killed, similar.
Killed that year. Now I get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that there was a little difference about me because when I was playing, I was always networking. Mm. So what I'm doing now, it makes sense.
Right.
I was always networking. While I was playing, I placed 38 girls and guys in Europe and Latin America making coins. I was making more money on the side than my actual contracts, which were more than $800 after that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so now, 2012, came home. I got a call to go to Chicago. Eric Thomas was big at the time, speaking. Met Eric Thomas. Oh, man, you know, I'm from the shop. You know, you tell me about him. I was like, wait. We're in Aurora right now. Where are we at? You know, so met him, got real cool with him. But then I started to notice that I really be networking.
Yeah.
While I do all this, I retired in 2017. And then I started working a corporate job to go to your question. Making money. Making money. I walked away from my corporate job last year, working there 7 years, to pursue me, which is to build this podcast. I work for myself. I own my business, Upscale Media. I sell marketing for neighborhoods. That's my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, the reason I say I'm just different, every job I had was because I pushed it. Somebody told me I couldn't get a college scholarship. I had like 20, 30, 40 of them, you know? Took a basketball shop. Somebody told me I couldn't go nowhere after college. Went overseas. Somebody told me I couldn't get a six-figure job. Made six figures my second year working. So I did all the little placements. While I was in college, I had 3 jobs and ran track and played basketball. I was working at Hip Hop Fishing Chicken, Steak and Shake, and I was the waitress at Sand Trap. Then I started making the money at the Sand Trap. I quit the other 2 jobs because I didn't want to ask my family for nothing.
How was you?
And I was sending money home to my folks.
Couldn't imagine.
I've always been a hustler. So, like, this morning, putting out fires before I got here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired. You feel me?
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to do this with y'all, I'm going to be very transparent. Kenny, that's my guy. You know? Todd, I appreciate you because I've been trying to connect with Todd. And Rennie, I met Rennie when we was giving back to some kids and he was playing the piano and told me he played football. I said, you lying.
He said, Google me. I Googled.
You follow me?
This was in 2012?
Yeah, something like that.
I Googled Rennie. I Googled. You follow me.
Yeah.
It went on Instagram.
Google me.
I said, what? And then, you know, he told me this story, but I think it's so wild that the people who y'all are, like, Ty, you don't get your name. Your name ring bells. I knew who you was before I knew who you was. That's a household name. Oh, we got a Todd's about to play. We better watch PGA. Rennie, you know, like.
The girly girl.
Girly girl, right.
Yeah. You're chilling.
I think it's wild because when I was playing, I probably got more notoriety after I was playing. Everybody in Georgia knew who I was, but people know who I am now because reality television. That's the truth. So, but the thing is, it's just kind of like, to go from this to this to this to this, all these things, this movie, stuff like that. But it's like, do you get that notoriety when you walk up the street still? Oh, you played at Georgia. Oh, you played at Georgia. Oh, you played for Fouts, played for the Rams. Oh, you played at, you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like, I always ask people because I really want to know, like, who you were and who you are now. I see how people treat people when they were popping and how do they treat you now? Because I don't keep friends like that. I fight them all every year.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you more worried about what I can do for you. Well, what can you do for me? What can we do for each other?
Yeah.
Let's build together, because one thing I learned in business, you can't do nothing by yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Partnerships is what makes things go.
Got to, yeah.
You know?
Come on.
So it's just kind of like, I guess the better question was, everybody up here, I already did my homework on y'all. Y'all all had career-ending injuries, basically. You know, and if you chose to not go further, that was on you. Mm-hmm. And you could have went through and prevailed through it. But what was the stamp that made you say, look, okay, it's over with?
Mm. For me, it was definitely God. Like, I prayed about it before it happened. So, and going back to what you shared just about your journey and all the things that you were doing while you were playing, right? All the different experiences, the networking. You start to realize all your different skill sets that you're not necessarily using in your sport, but that's going to carry you so much further. Mm-hmm. And then you start, like I said, peeling back those layers of your identity. And then going back to what you said about relationships, when you build strong relationships too, that adds another layer where you like, okay, whether I play, whether I don't, I'm going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, one of my skills was speaking.
Mm.
From the time I was in high school, and this is something I'm super passionate about. We all see the athlete that after the game, the reporter's like, so what'd you do on that play? And he's like, oh, you know, I just did what coach told me. And so for me, seeing that, man, and I went to a school that was mostly white. Brookwood High School, shout out to Brookwood.
Brookwood.
But I was most of the time the only one in the classroom, right? And I knew from that young age, even the perception to be the dumb jock, you know, to be the funny guy, which was one of the reasons why I always wanted to be different, which was one of the reasons why I was a musician. I was one of the few athletes that was in the orchestra, played the viola until my junior year.
I played the trumpet, but keep going.
That's what's up. But yeah, and then when it came to, you know, the platform of being an athlete, man, told myself, I'm going to be articulate. I'm going to just give thought-provoking answers. I'm not going to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that was giving me the reps of public speaking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so not only was I doing those post-game interviews, pre-game speeches, but I would start going out, speaking to young kids, you know, inspiring them, the kids who are also being told by their coach that they weren't tall enough and things like that. So when it came time to transition, you know, there was that inner conflict like I talked about earlier, where I was like, man, I want to keep playing. Because I can use this platform to bless people. You know, I can use this platform to give back. You know, I'm able to help my family, my daughter. She's 3 years old at this time. But I just remember, like, God speaking to me and saying, hey, you don't need football. You're bigger than that. And then I still was stubborn.
Yeah.
And at this time, this is like 2017. I played with, you know, the Titans, the Bucks. I'd gone up to Canada in the freezing cold. Same thing, took a bad deal. Came back. I was working on my speaking career, built my personal brand from scratch, wrote my first book, get my business degree.
Free agent right here.
Yeah. Get my business degree. Still trying to play, training 3 hours a day. And then the spring league comes in 2017, and I never forget, I'm driving up there to West Virginia, and I'm praying. I'm like, God, if you want me to keep playing, or if you don't want me to keep playing, make it clear.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't make it no ankle sprain.
Yeah.
I want it to be something. I prayed that prayer. I was like, God, you know, if I just pull my hamstring, you know I'm gonna be right back out there.
Right.
And no lie, I got out there in the spring league, and my first rep, my first day us competing, I stepped up to the line. I'm going against Ben Tate, who played at Auburn, running back at Auburn. I ran up to cover him, and boom, I just fell backwards, tried to get up, my left leg collapsed. 2 days later, I'm back at UGA with Ron Corson, the legend.
Mm-hmm.
And said, Rennie, sorry to tell you, but you completely tore your patella tendon. So that's how I knew it was time to move on. 2 days after surgery, I'm on a stage speaking to students.
Yeah.
And I ain't never looked back.
Yeah.
It was a blessing, though. Like, with everything, it was a blessing. I will say this. When you go through those things, man, you don't know why those things happen. But then you look back, and it's like, okay, I understand that this sport, this thing that we're blessed with, it was just a vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just to equip us for what we're really supposed to do, like what our real purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all of us were in different stages of understanding that, but when you fully understand that, man, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Because you understand, even when you transition that, you're not fully transitioning. It's really integration is what I call it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
When you understand that you can take all these things over here, you can bring it into your next phase. And then it's like, when you focus, when you leverage, like when I think about who I was as a linebacker and my mentality, the preparation, the mindset, the team that I had around me, and I bring it over here, I'm like, man, can't nobody compete with me in the corporate world.
Thank you.
I'm already qualified.
Yeah.
And I'm so passionate about this because so many of us leave our sport and we feel like we have nothing of value. Mm-hmm. And that's why we end up in the UPSs and all these things, because we haven't done the work to uncover all of our gifts and our skills and our talent and translate it. Just like when you go from a team to another team,
mm-hmm.
they may have a scheme, right? That's the same with these two teams. They just call them something different. So that you got to translate, but I'll stop raining. I'll let Ty go.
Damn, what was the question again?
The church.
I'm just saying.
Go buy the book.
Yeah, just go buy the book. Long story short, go tune in for the
good promo. Go buy the book.
She had her question. What was the question you asked about having a regular job?
Yeah.
And then knowing when you're done?
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing when you're done.
So that's a good question. I guess. For me, like none of this, not to say it don't matter, but like if it wasn't for Google, like motherfuckers ain't gonna really remember 20 years from now whether you won an award, this or that. So I never let that like drive me either, you know, like, cause as much as you can have a good year, you can have a bad year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And,
quick boy.
I mean, I was kind of like Kenny for the sake, like, I mean, I love football, but it was just like, I just happened to just be good as hell at it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that was just a blessing. But I guess I really knew I was done. I had a chance to go to Baltimore. I grew up a Ravens fan, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, okay. You know, like, so that was just already like what I needed to hear. And I think the COVID year, being around family and just being chill. But then also too, like, bro, my knee already fucked up. Like, what am I gonna keep? why would I keep fucking my shit up? Like, for what?
Seriously.
Like to prove, like, what I'm look like?
Right.
Yeah. And that's it wasn't like I ain't need to prove nothing to myself. I ain't need to prove nothing to no one else.
Good for
yes,
you, man.
I could have took that risk and said, yo, come on, let's try it out again. But yeah. Like, when I knew I didn't get excited for that opportunity, I low-key wish I just would have just signed and just, like, never showed up. That way I just would have got the jersey or whatever like that. But
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but, like, no, like, not showed up
at all. Not at all.
Like,
yeah,
period.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
He ain't get on the flight.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
get the bonus.
But, and then also, man, just being able to see guys, like, going through that struggle or, like, whatever you say, the transition. And yeah. all that. So, like,
yeah.
everything is always in front of us. You know what I mean? That's why you got guys like Rennie, who was here before me. So, being able to see his story, being able to see a lot of people on my team and how they dealt with it. But I had good, like, OGs, too. They like, oh, you know when people get cut, you used to feel bad. They like, oh, nah, bro, you gonna love this shit. Like, it's gonna be love. But I can only say that from my situation and how I felt in the situation that I was in financially, mentally. So I just felt like I just always just did a good job. I love to travel. So that was one of the biggest things. Like, I'm like, shit, I can do this joint year round now. I ain't got to just do it in the off season. But like I said, I think the biggest thing was just like, I didn't need it. Like, I felt like I didn't need it. Like,
That's empowering.
And I feel like motherfuckers gonna fuck with me. Some people might not, but like, people gonna fuck with me regardless, like, cause I'm just a good dude and you know what I'm saying? And I am who I am. So pretty short for me, but so that's what I do now, like with old teammates. Cause sometimes, you know, we get done playing, then we get off the grid and I'm like, yo, what's good? You know, when somebody disappear, you got to check on them, right? Like, yo, what's good? Like, I'm just hearing you, like, bro, I fuck with you regardless. Like, you don't have to be scoring touchdowns, catching picks. Like, you my man regardless. And I want you to feel like that, too, because I met people who played 15 years, but they still bitter. I'm like, damn. Like, 15? Like, what more else? You're like, I still got it. So, being able to see that, I'm just like, damn, bro. There's some people ain't never satisfied, no matter whatever they get, you know, for money wise, whatever. And I always just been a fan of the game, period, anyway. So I'm like, I just instantly turned into a fan, you know, first week of the NFL. I'm like, bet, we on. Like, got all my TVs on. We looking at the games and just being a sports spectator. But then also, like, balancing, like not being, like, antisocial. Because sometimes you just want to get off the grid and, like, whatever. But, like, people need to hear these stories. And that's the good thing about, like, coming on platforms and, you know, doing interviews. But just helping out the youth and letting them know. They're like, yo, why are you playing? You need to be playing. It's like, well, nigga, you say running backs don't last long. So it's like, if I did 15 years, it's like, you're going to be telling me, get your old ass on and washed up. So I'll just let people know.
Somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like, I got to play a childhood dream.
Seriously.
I don't want to even say childhood dream. It's just like, I just happen to be good at it. You know what I mean? And I worked hard, but I feel like everybody else worked hard. You know what I mean? Like, y'all didn't work no harder than I did. Maybe some, but it was just all fun. Like I said, it was sports. I got to play it. Got in LA. I think LA spoiled me a little bit too. Got to live out there. I got a little bit more chill and relaxed. But nah, it was just, I don't know, it was just all love. And I was able to, you know, hear a lot of other people's opinions of how they felt when they walked away. And I think I got to gather like all that information and still doing it, you know, to this day.
Yeah. You ever had a regular job?
No. One of my goals was, as a matter of fact, I mean, earlier, like when, you know, working under the table and stuff like that for my dad and stuff up there in Baltimore during the summertime. But what I initially wanted to do, like, I'll be thinking of weird shit. I wanted to be like a TSA, like, I was like, people watching people, like,
you want to be like, so
lump, out the bear.
No, I wanted to be the person, like, at the desk, though, just seeing everybody, like, walk by and all shit.
Oh,
like that. Like that. So, but no, I never had a regular job, but that's been the biggest blessing. And I don't never take that for granted, you know what I mean? Like, I always thank the Lord for. Like, I'm like, damn, how? Like, how and why me? I don't be trying to question it, but I'm like, I'm grateful that it was me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good.
Wow. No regular job. You ever had a regular job besides speaking? Nope.
I did.
What?
Chill, bro. I'm like you. I'm a hustler. So when I was in the middle of trying to build, you know, my brand as a speaker and you know, leadership and life coaching, all that stuff, I did take on odd jobs. And one of the things I realized, if you can communicate, you good.
Yeah, like, no kidding.
If you know how to relate to people, if you have emotional intelligence, all those different things, you know how to connect with people from different walks of life, you're gonna be able to get a job. So what I would do is I would work with companies as like a brand ambassador. I would sit in on meetings if they're trying to close a deal. That was one of the jobs I did, just a sales job. I also did some sports commentating on the side. You know, things like that. And then one of my first regular jobs that let me know that I was not cut for the corporate world was I worked in a warehouse my sophomore year in high school. And that was all I needed. I had one supervisor. Never forget that man. If you're watching, I'm sorry, but his name was Frank.
Come on, Frank.
And I was like, man, this dude stayed on me. I'm 15 years old, working a summer job, and this man was just on me. And I'm like, bro, I cannot do this. It was hot in that warehouse. And then I remember going from the warehouse into like the area where people who have the degrees are, you know, behind the desk and things like that. Because my little league coach got me this job. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, oh, this is what the difference is between when you get that degree, when you get educated, when you don't. And I'm looking around the people in the warehouse and I'm like, man, this is not a summer job for them. Like, this is their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's all I needed to know was, you know, that this was not cut for me. That, and then I had a moving job. And so those two things right there, I was like, I gotta be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, I gotta be an entrepreneur. So, yeah.
Worked at McDonald's?
Absolutely.
Worked at Mickey D's?
I've been, when I was cut from the league, went back to Mississippi, where they overcharged me for my damn PT. You'll think my whole time, but I should have went to Mississippi State. Maybe they would not charge me.
Yeah.
Hometown girl went out, but anyway, I was a pharmacy technician in my godparents' doctor's clinic and pharmacy. I got fired. I went to work with Lex. She convinced me for 2 weeks to go work with her scamming.
Surprise, surprise.
They don't know that's a real job.
No, yes, that's a real job. Now, let me tell you a story right quick. Yeah, I'm gonna answer your question about the injury and stuff. So Lex is like, man, you know, I be making da da da. She's a great salesman.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. How you think she got us all here?
I do this. I roll out about 3-4 before lunch. Man, I make $1,200 before lunch. Man, come mess with me. I said, all right, let me go try to lie. You know, I'm a curious person. People say it's because I'm a Leo. If you're in the horoscopes, you know, with Leos, we just gotta know shit.
Yeah.
I gotta see it for myself and be like, man, you know what? That shit ain't for me. Pull up, Lex, they training me or whatever. I made probably like 2 sales. I hear Lex over there, I'm gonna call you back. Can I get you in for 2? Yeah. Let me know, I'm only got this deal going like for the next 30 minutes. I'm like, man, I'm over a cube like, damn, Lex, how you be doing it? That ain't me. If you don't want, all right, bro, have a good day.
Yeah.
I'm done. So what I really realized, the corporate and like working for somebody else wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. I had to go get a consultation with my therapist back in Mississippi. I ain't been working in 14 days. I think I got like 1 paycheck.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what happened. I got my paycheck and you know, I started the week after the first pay period. Mm-hmm. So I only got a week of pay. So I'm asking, I said, Liz, why is all I got? This check said like 800, 900. I said, why they taking 300? Where they going?
What happened to my 1,200
so,
before
noon? You know, making a certain amount of money. Like, bro, why this shit say $700? Like, what am I about to do with that? So they was like, oh, you know, you just started working here. Like, you can't really go to your doctor's appointment. I look, who can't go to their doctor's appointment? I said, Lex, I'm about to drive to Mississippi. I got to go see my therapist. I got to get another consultation with her. I'm not finna not go. I said, dang, people, they don't let you out work?
That ain't how work. They don't let you out work?
Like, that's not legal? I drove on the way back, kid you not, on the other end of Birmingham, about to get into Douglasville. They called me. Hey, well, we looked at your sales. We decided, like, you should have made like 10, 12 sales by now. We just decided we're going to let you go. I'm like, y'all don't even know. I didn't let y'all go. You know what I'm saying? I went to the doctor. You not finna not let me go. Because, you know, in our world, it's like I got the free time. All I got to do is wake up, go work out, and go to my doctor's appointment, handle my business. Like, you tell me. I already quit.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't firing me.
Yeah, I'm straight on, yeah.
And, like, I'm learning. I was like, can I file unemployment? Like, I don't have money. I ain't legs. Like, bro, I ain't tripping. I appreciate you, but that shit ain't for me, bro.
Yeah.
At all. Like, that was the funniest thing. Then you go to work. You go in the 8 to 5. You got lunch break, 12. Take you 15, 20, 30 minutes just to figure out what you going to eat. And you got to be right back to work. I said, no, I need to make my own skill in life.
She's crazy.
Like, she knew I was serious. Like, this is all the time I got for lunch. It take me 15 minutes sitting in Zaxby's line.
Yeah, no cap.
Oh, man, I got so much respect. And I'm not being funny because we just athletes. I got so much respect for people that work in, like, the workspace in life because I can't do it.
Yeah.
If I tell you I I can't do nothing. That's the only thing you ever gonna hear me say, can't, out of my mouth.
All right.
I can't do it. Like the bank closed when I get out of work. Like, you have no time to do nothing.
Yeah,
let me tell you what I would do. I would contact all my friends that play sports. And I said, hey, man, come make the money. Come up here and make the money.
She ain't lying. Because
I make the money. I make the money. So I had
you got a commission for bringing them in, huh?
No. She'll tell you. I get right. 6-7 days, go home. But she increased, like, the money for the data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I'm not there, it's not happening. So I get about 7 days by lunch. They let me go home. So I was one of the ones that got to go home. You know what I'm saying? By lunch. And I might stay longer. April still need to say, I'm like, oh, let me get April a sale real quick, you know? But the thing was, I would call my friends that were athletes, because if you're dedicated to sports, and that's a different type of dedication, it shows you can get up, go to practice at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 3 practices a day, whatever the case may be,
right,
then you can do this. It ain't that hard. But it's about do you want to do it, though,
yeah.
You know? So that's the thing. So if you can play sports, can do that.
Yeah.
April be like this. Another 2 hours. April right here, she like,
I'm having anxiety sitting down so long. Like, I got to be here 8 hours.
I'm like, and then I would look at her like, you tripping. And she like, no, you're tripping. And then she'll go walk off somewhere. Like, but I would always contact friends that played sports, because even though she's one of the few, the thing is, you can really do it. She can really, first of all, when she got somebody on the phone, April about to close the deal for real.
Yeah, no.
The one thing about her is she just don't follow back.
Nah.
The follow-up,
so, yeah. Yeah, the follow-up. She don't like that. She wanted them to say yes right there. You got to accept getting a no.
Right.
But half of her follow basket when she left, I went through her little call off.
Not a beggar.
I got about 1 or 2 deals. I said, well, you got a deal. You want to come back? No. You know, like, you know, but the point I'm making is, if you can do that, I mean, that's 6 figures easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took what I learned in that business to create my other business, which is how I work for myself. If I was making, that man, the owner of the company, rest in peace, he just passed away last year. I was making him $50,000 a month in sales.
Mm. No. Facts.
Good for you.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
That's when I stopped counting.
Yeah.
So if I can make that for him in sales, imagine what I can do for myself.
Exactly.
And I'm only getting a piece of that pie.
Right. Good for you for having that realization and the faith to move forward.
No, for real.
Yeah, because it takes a lot. Nobody talks about how much faith and dedication and courage it takes to, like, go from being in a system to creating your own system.
Ooh, that's the one.
Yeah, that's hard.
You said that bubble.
Yeah.
It's a bubble from the collegiate level all the way to the professional level as well. Like, you're in, hey, I know I just got to be at this building. Y'all going to tell me what field or what court I need to be on, what drills I need to be doing. Study how, all that. Once I leave there, like, I got
no blueprint.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to go to the crib and chill. Yeah. Like, just hang out. So it definitely takes a lot. And then to talk about the point of having a real job, like not real job, but a 9-to-5. My dad looked at me in my face. This was after I had lost everything. He was like, bro, he was working at Amazon at the time. He was like, bro, you need to call me to Amazon. Like, I can get you on the Sprinter. Like, I'm doing the CDL gig because I got there. I know you ain't got to the CDL, but you can come drive. You can work in the warehouse. Woo-woo. You got to a bachelor's degree, so it probably won't take you a long time to move up the ranks. And I was just like, yeah, shout out. I can't.
I can't do it, bro.
He was like, bro, you bleeding financially. I was like, I am. Lord knows I need somebody coming in, but I just, it's just something that won't let me go do it. Like, nothing wrong with it. And I respect the hustle because he waking up to go to Amazon, and I'm waking up to go work out at the same time, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, bro, I respect your grind because, like, you're doing that, but I just can't do it. And then the day where I, like, finally kind of had broke, I was like, bro, I'm going to put in this application, bro. So I went online, and I'm looking, I'm like, bro, it just looks so hard to fill out the application because it's like my mind, like, no, you're not supposed to be doing it. Application is super duper simple, but it's looking like Chinese to me. I'm like, land name, first name, and I was asking all this. I don't know what this means. It's just because my mind was blocking me from saying it, because it was like, bro, you're not supposed to be doing it. I know your dad is telling you to do that, and that may seem like the most responsible thing to do financially right now, but you still going through your process. So I was like, you know what? I ain't going to do it. I'm going to just kick it. he looking at me like, ah, you kicking it, but you're kicking it in my house, right? You ain't in your penthouse no more. You
know, right.
You got the AMG sitting outside, you asking me for my other car, and you eating my groceries. I need you to figure out something else while you kicking it. And I was just like, yeah, I need the Lord to come through with something. So ultimately, he had led me to being a graduate assistant at UGA, working with men's basketball. And I was like, man, that's crazy, because all that, I didn't want to work for nobody. I'm still having to go work for somebody. And that's a better gig and a better opportunity. Yeah, I'm getting my education doing it, this, that, and the third. But, like, I'm still having to sit up under somebody. And I was like, all right, bet. I know Mike White. I played against him. You know, I'd met him before, this, that, and the third. So, cool. So that's going to be my boss. That's what my mindset was. Whole time, the director of basketball operations, he was 25 years old. Shout out Ben Gonzalez, man. He was 25 years old, and at this time, I'm 28. And he was my actual boss. So I'm looking at this like, man, I got this dude younger than me. Like, it's no way he knows more about what I know about the game, about logistics, this, that, and the third. Like, there's no way, like, because he didn't play ball. He's just a manager that worked his way up the ranks. And whole time, it was a lot that I actually learned from him on the logistics of the basketball side, to know how to just operate outside of practice times and sets and game. Oh, we got to, you know, schedule games, this, that, and the third. Like, being able to understand, like, the real inner workings of how a real basketball system works outside of the court. And I, like, I look at it and it's like, wow, like, as much as I told my dad I would never get a real job, I ended up getting a real job. It wasn't 9 to 5. I was kind of limited, because whenever we got a call or text from the players, we had to come get up shots. It might be 10 o'clock at night. He like, man, I got a lot going on in my mind. My girlfriend just broke up with me. I just want to shoot. I'm like, man, we got a shooting machine for that. Bro, what are you calling me for? Like, what are we talking about? But they needed that personal that relationship. Presence. Yeah, that presence and just that mentorship and that big brotherhood. So after I graduated, obviously started the academy prep, the prep school, my prep school up in on the north side of town in Johns Creek in Sewanee. Shout out to my community. But I had to, like, learn how to be in that real working space before I could set the space for people to work for me in. So
I think that was good what you said, because all of us, like, we were really good. All of us got an ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I got injured, like, I was doing boys prep over at Core 4. Nobody knew this. I had already tweaked my knee in, like, pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't go overseas the first half. So I decided to get into, like, training and boys prep. I always wanted to coach and train. So let me do this.
Yeah.
Picked up a contract to go to Egypt for playoffs. First playoff game, I go out there, try to chop out, hyperextended, blew my whole knee out. This is my fifth surgery that I'm about to have. 2 weeks later, this is where Kobe died. All this happened at once.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Kobe had just passed. Then, like, the first playoff game, tweaked my knee. I finished the game. I just thought I pulled my hamstring.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a hyperextension can feel like a hamstring.
Yeah, right.
So I did this first quarter. Get out there, finish the game, score 30. Next day, knee big. They was like, oh, your knee messed up. 3-4 days later, I never forget, I did this January 15th. Like, a week later, we shut down for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They not even trying to pay us. You know how overseas
is. Yeah,
they're
like,
oh, well, we're not doing a season. You get no money.
Yeah,
that's
like,
how they
talk. Hold on. That ain't what we talked about.
No play. You get no money. They just shut the airports down and everything. So I was just sitting at my, like, I was supposed to get surgery over there originally.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't want to pay for it. So when they was like, no, we're just going to send you to the States, they was like, we still going to cover your surgery. The equivalent to a surgery over here, probably 30, 40, 60. Over there, they was giving me $5,000 to come back with for surgery, right? Kids don't know this. I'm going to educate y'all on something. So when I got back, I had to wait and start. You know, you do your pre-rehab stuff before your surgery. So I'm like, we on COVID. And overseas COVID, you really on lockdown. Like, we was playing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Over there,
them folks ain't want to see you.
7 to 7, you get caught in the street. They was literally beating people into their house, into the street. I was in Alexandria, Egypt. So I'm locked in my apartment the whole time, like, just doing something. And I'm making TikTok videos. They was like, oh, her knee not hurt? I was like, no, this is messed up. I'm just different. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a different type of athlete. I still can move on it.
Yeah.
And stuff. So when I was sitting in that apartment, I was like, damn, like, I think this probably may be it for me. I'm talking to myself, you know, smoking on a little shisha, a little hookah. This really, I had to really talk to, like, God, like, God, like, what are we doing? Like, and you know, Todd said, like, why? That's the first time in my life I asked God, like, man, why? Like, damn, you blessed me with so much. You blessed me with a gift more people work years to try to accomplish. Like, I'm really fucking good at this game. Why I keep getting injured? In the peak of my career, you know what I'm saying? And then in another country, I got 2 injuries in other countries in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was never able to fully just flourish in my career, like, per se, like that. But, like, and I realized, like, damn, I really need to figure out what I'm about to do next. And then came back, finally had my surgery in, like, April. Mind you, I injured myself in January. I didn't get surgery until April. Because we were stuck overseas. Yeah. I was stuck in Egypt like 3 months.
Yeah.
Came back. Like I said, Atlanta was not shut down. Started partying and having fun. Like, we never experienced that because I was, like, so selfish when I played. And, like, I feel like if I had a bad day, I'd be like, damn, it's because I went such and such.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got a bad game, a bad workout. I'd be like, damn, I should have not went such and such. Now I'm off. Mm-hmm. That's the type of athlete I was. Man, such and such called me with that BS, the energy and messed my day up. Mm-hmm, like, I missed too many shots today. Like, I was selfish when it came, like, no girls, nothing. Like, nah, you about to get on my nerves or you about to distract me. I can't deal with you. Basketball, the most important thing in my life.
I got to focus.
Focus. I don't care. So when I got into that space, like, going out, $2 shot, like, having fun. And I'm like, damn, this is what the other side is. But I'm on crutches. Like, there's no, I'm on crutches out at these places. And, like, I really started enjoying life. From a different lens, enjoyed it too much.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I enjoyed it too much. At the same time, I really was like, damn, I need to really figure out what I wanna do. I don't wanna go college coach. I get offered it all the time, be great at it.
Yeah.
No, that ain't gonna fill my cup. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like, I started understanding, like, damn, all right, I'm about to get into this training for real. I'm really about to lock in and be a student of how to develop people and meet them at their level. Because when I first started training, I was still a little arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking everybody had it like me, like, bro, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, bro, come
and
on.
So I had to really humble myself. And then, like, I say a lot with people, I went through, like, mental health situations, like, especially during my transition.
Yeah.
Once I learned to heal and make peace with where my life was going at, man, so much opened up for me. Mm. And I'm not just saying that, like, I was still, like, stubborn. I was still hurt. I was still asking God why. I was still like, damn, why me?
Mm-hmm.
I see my peer right here getting buckets. Man, I used to kill her.
That be the one.
And to my point was, like, when I finally made peace with that, that's when I stepped into my space of knowing, like, I stay up people all the time. I don't go by April Sykes no more because that's going to forever be the basketball. I go by Sludge now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my afterlife, my transitional stage, and I just Sludge Pro,
Come on.
So just, I'm glad you did that. And, like, I felt fulfilled when my peers come train with me, bro.
Mm.
How many people, you know, it's some people in this field, but, like, people I actually played against, they respect me so much, they come work out with me.
That's dope.
It's different training kids, but when you got your peers coming to get
they really understand that value.
And be like, man, you was really like that. People just don't know because you had the injury. And as a kid, I was like, man, I don't never want to be a has-been. That messed with me, too. I'm pretty sure all of us went through that. Like, man, he used to be. I hate when people be like, man, he used to be such a. Boy, I still do that.
You feel me? Like, no, I hurt myself trying to do it.
Court. But you know what I'm saying? I can still get to, like, I know you probably can still knock somebody out of the
glass. Yeah, I'm about to say,
you can still
black
get a
Thanos
hold,
over
you know,
there.
And go yards and stuff. And, like, when I made peace with that, man, I was first I was content in life. But then I was like, damn, like, I really love this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, man, I got to go watch these girls play basketball. I love going to the game, pulling a little side. You know what? You'll be better if you just, you know, you got to work a little more. Mm-hmm. I ain't like everybody else that's telling you you're good because they lying to you. Because all of us have been told no of you. And that's the biggest challenge with everybody that's been in our space that, oh, I'm good, I'm this, ain't nothing bad going to happen to us. When you get told that first no,
that's really good. What you really about?
That's not, like
Mount
Rushmore that fell on top of you.
Yeah.
And like people think I'm exaggerating, but when you just getting told no and you're not used to that.
Especially when it's out of your control.
It's out of your control. Like, dang, like, it takes a part of you. And, like, that's why I was, like, doing my transition through the injuries and stuff. I had 5 surgeries. Would have had 6 if I would have got my elbow put back in place. But I was just, like, I'm different. Like, I said 2025, I was going to big myself up when nobody else going to do
Come
it. Like,
on,
you know what I'm saying?
Man.
I'm different because, like, I done came back from injuries and still can do stuff that I done seen it tear other people down.
Yeah.
And they not the same. People like, damn, how you still such and such? I don't know, bro. I just, my mindset is kind of like, at first when I get an injury, I'm like, I got to prove to him that I still can do this. I still belong. And to the point, I just realized it was just really just me. Like, I'm going to get on the other side of this. Like, I'm a menace when it comes to that. Like, your pain ain't my pain.
Yeah,
I'm different when it comes to that. Like, I still can get up and down the court and still play and do whatever I need to do. And most people get one injury and they done. Because they mentally can't do it. Ain't your body. It's like mentally, and then I say going to Rutgers, like, I know I'm up here with a lot of Bulldogs. But like playing at Rutgers for who I play with, she put that in us. And you know, I'm from the country. I'm from Mississippi. I grew up with like cows ticking.
Y'all tell me, y'all cow tipping when you were young? You used to
Boy, my granddad, boy, you get a whooping where I'm from. You mess with no cows. And it's just like, and I started having fun too. Like, it was like, pros, you don't supposed to be on no ATV. You can't go surfing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, the squad, they was like, well, you know you don't supposed to do that. I was like, what? Can't do what? Oh, you get a fine if you get, and then I started enjoying life. Like, I can go mud riding now. I can fall in the mud pit. Mm-hmm. I can, the four wheeler can run over my leg. Ain't nobody finna find me, you know? Yeah. And you start really enjoying life on the back end of it. And I'm not going to say it was easy. All of us went through that depression stage.
For sure,
but like,
for sure.
If you understand life and get on the back end of it, you're going to be straight. And I ain't just making it up because I've been through it. Like, I done cried. I did not want to watch basketball. Mm-hmm. I did not want to show up to certain places because people going to be like, dang, what you doing now?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That question.
But let me ask you.
You were sorry with that one. You got to hit them with the, like, whatever, how you feeling. And that's the biggest thing, too, when you get done, like, it's like they almost try to, like, bring you down.
Exactly.
And then, like, depending on your situation, it's like, it's okay to be able to relax and just, like, figure it out for the time being and not get stuck. But, yeah, that's definitely the thing. Like, oh, what you doing now?
Right.
But motherfuckers just be wanting to be nosy. Like, bro, you got my number.
Right.
You could have been hit me.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm an ass.
But they really be wanting to know, too, though. Right. They really do be
It's just the state that you see. It's a defense mechanism. It's
on social media, you see what I'm doing. That's what I say. Like, nah, that's real, for real.
But let me ask y'all this. How has mental health affected your transition? And then what strategies did you do to overcome that?
It impacted. I wouldn't say it affected you. It just made a major impact. Because when you hire your horse, don't never really phase you. You know, you're a gladiator when you're in your sport. When you're really in the trenches and you're really on the grind, like mentally, everything bounce off you until it don't no more. So I think my mental health really made me sit. Like, I say this, like, my dad committed suicide when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
Throughout my career, I never sat and was like, I need to deal with it. Because I was always every size, she played basketball. I played basketball to stay close to my dad. So when I got my injury and it was cut from the WNBA, it was taken away from me. I was in my room in my mom's house sitting there like, damn, for the first time in my life, I got to deal with this. And I've been dealing with it. So just last year, I finally got on the other end of dealing like, with my dad's suicide. I'm 34 now.
Yeah.
You know, I got my injury with the Spurs when I was 21, 22. And I'm just able to, like, talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, because I was the number one player in the country coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Went to Rutgers, was hooping, killing, WNBA, overseas. Nobody knew that. Mm-hmm. I could have been used that story and be like, well, you know her dad. People thought I came from a two-parent household.
Yeah.
I came from a village of people that poured into me with my family, you know? It ain't always a two-parent household. So, like, mentally, I had to deal with my injury, and I also had to deal with, like, that. I had been putting it away for years because basketball was always my
outlet, for real time.
No, it was my outlet, you know? So I think mentally that would help me really on that healing process.
Yeah, I'll say definitely mental health-wise, and you touched on it, for a lot of us, our sport is a mask. And so there's, especially when you have a success, there's a lot of things you don't have to face. You don't have to really work through. You don't even have to be aware of. And then all of a sudden, it ends, right? And it's, I really compare it to the Matrix when Neo finally gets his plug pulled out and he wakes up and he comes back to reality. He's like, dang, it's the real, like, that's how it really is for us as athletes. When you get hurt, when you get cut that last time and you can never play again, and you get exposed to the real world, there's like a death and a rebirth that happens, and you have to go through all the phases. That's what I realized. Just like when you lose somebody, you go through the stages of grief. Like, that's literally what we go through when we go through transition. We're just not realizing it.
Yeah.
And then you have to start from the bottom. So I tell every athlete that's going through their transition, I'm like, remember where you were as a little league player, how you didn't know what position. You just had to get the reps. And you had to be okay with learning the fundamentals. You had to be okay with being coachable. You had to humble yourself and just get out there. You couldn't stand on the sidelines. You back in Little League, just in a different way, in the business world. And so once I started having those realizations as I was going through my transition, it really helped in terms of my mental health. And then another thing that I realized as part of, you know, when I got certified as a life and business coach was that mental health is something that you constantly have to be working on. We're all on a spectrum.
Yeah.
There's never going to be a point where you get to a place where you, like, your mental health is just solid.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be working on that thing on a daily basis, just like you get in that weight room and you getting those reps. For me, that looks like I journal every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I do mindfulness meditation. I do my devotion and prayer. You know, I just do a lot. I do self-talk. You know, I look myself in the mirror sometimes and just give myself a damn pep talk.
Yeah.
Just whatever I got to do to build up. Like, you got to.
You
because
have.
Whether it's sports, whether it's life, no matter what, life is going to hit.
Yeah.
It's going to hit. And if you ain't been doing them things, shoot, it's just like if you go in the weight room right now. You ain't been doing nothing. Somebody take 300 pounds and just drop it on you. You ain't been doing that. It's going to crush you.
Yeah, you're going to get
there. And so, yeah. And that's how I look at it now. Like, you got to be intentional about your mental health.
Yes.
And a lot of us aren't, especially as athletes, because we're so busy doing the skills over here. But rarely do we have a coach. Like, now things have changed.
What?
But rarely do you have a coach who actually tells you, hey, you need to be. I mean, have any of y'all coaches ever said, hey, journal or hey, like, do mindfulness meditation? We might have done yoga or something like that.
Yeah,
but,
as a team exercise, but not on an individual note. No.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, the thing that your coach will most likely say, suck it up and
play
keep it moving, right?
Yeah.
Let's play.
But what happens when you can't lift your way, run your way, train your way through that thing? Then what? So, yeah.
Nah, like, piggyback, like, what you just said, though, it's never just, like, I'm fine, right? Because tomorrow something can happen. It can happen, you know, close relative, a friend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just, like, for me, being able to just always just have that balance, like I said, the gratitude, you know, my fate. But then also, like, looking at it to where it's like, all right, we got 365 days out of the year. Like, see, I'm always... reaching for more great days than bad days, you know? So if I can look at it like that, I'm like, you're not, you know, and someone's situation can always be worse, but that's neither here nor there. But I think just having these conversations about it, because I feel like it's more common now to have these conversations than what before. Even just us talking right now, it's just like,
but
everyone got a story too.
Yeah.
And like, just much like, I guess people should be hearing my story, people should be hearing your story, like everyone's story. So you always did a good job of like, you know what I'm saying? Like a guy that was just outside looking in. We probably haven't had much conversations over time, but like everybody see what you're doing. You
appreciate
know what I mean?
That,
people see what you're doing and it's always love from afar.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
From friends. You don't have to talk to people all the time. So
I appreciate you saying that, bro.
Yeah. I think just like me, it's the family. Like family and traveling. Sometimes traveling fuck me up because when I go somewhere and I come back, I'm like, dang.
Snap back to reality.
Back over there. But I think just the family is just it really like keep me grounded, man. And my mom used to say this when I was playing, you know, at the heights of my career, like, you know, you don't have to play if you don't want to.
Mm,
you know, and I always had a great family support. Like my family ain't like never been no headache, you know. Thank God, they probably was shielding stuff, like hiding stuff maybe from me, but like, you know, to keep my sanity. But as far as like real deal problems, like they always held it down and it's always been solid. So
That's good, man.
Being able to have that support and really just spend a lot of time with my family now, man, that just kind of helped me out. If I didn't, I think that would mess with my mental health more.
Yeah.
Like if I was missing out on a lot of stuff, especially now that I know that I had that time. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just... you know, every day, you know, every day.
Every day's a battle, man.
But I think as I mature and get to that age, it's like, all right, why do I smoke? Why do I drink? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like trying to figure out those, you know, but like being aware and like really balancing it out too, right? Like just, it's everyday thing. Like,
everyday, bro.
It's real shit.
Nah, I think for me, I really, really, really had to lean on my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I stayed in church. It seemed like we had and my mom is the bishop and founder of our church too. So it seemed like we had a revival every Friday during that time. And I was at every altar and I was at every altar call. Like I said, I was bleeding financially, but I kept sowing those seeds every time, whether it was a guest speaker, whether it was my mom, and they had a special offering, call for a special offering. I always gave, even when it didn't make sense. I remember specifically, it was one revival night. And the guest speaker was like, yeah, I feel led to raise up a $100 offer. Everybody has to give $100. And I'm like, I'm looking at my bank account. Mm. And I'm like, I gotta make that payment on the AMG in about 3 days. If I do that, I'm gonna have about 200 left over. God. So if I get 100 now, I'm gonna have 100 left over. And then I ain't got no money for the insurance. Yeah, I don't know. And the last call, I just feel like God kicked me. I'm like, you know what? Let me get my cash out together. What I'm sending this? Amen. Like, hey, man. And it was kind of like just like a weight lifted off me in that same moment as soon as it got sent. And it was just like a peace. Like nothing changed financially. Nobody came and said, hey, look, I want to speak this word of encouragement into you or something like that. Like nothing changed. It was really like just a piece of God that just came over me. It was like, bro, I got you. I see what you're going through. I know you feel like I'm not with you because you've lost everything and every day things are getting worse. But trust me, I'm with you. Like, just stay with me. And I'm like, all right, I'm staying with you, God, because at this point, I done came so far with you. If I turn now, I could have just not did stuff I was doing. I could have not gave them offerings all them other times. I would have had the money. So I'm like, at this point, like, I got to just stay tapped down with you. So I just stayed in church, man. I prayed. I had a deeper prayer life with God. I obviously had gotten closer to my mom, outside of our mother-son dynamic and stuff like that. But I really just was intentional with how I wanted to operate as a Christian first, because I'm like, all right, cool. The Lord, you gave me this platform. It might not have been the super NBA platform. Did I play summer league? Yeah, cool. My dream was to play in the NBA, you know what I'm saying, long term. That wasn't what you gave me, but you allowed me to have impact overseas. So you gave me a platform. I did what I wanted to do with it. Now you're calling me to do what you want to do with it. So you know what? I'm going to stay out my own way and just whatever, God, however you want it to look, just do what you need to do. Cause I'm tired of trying to figure it out on my own. I keep hitting my head on the ceiling. I got a headache at that point. So it's on you. And literally that just being hands off and stop trying to, not trying to control things, like controlling the thing that I can control, waking up, giving God glory, and whoever I'm around just having some type of positive impact, regardless of what I'm going through, because who cares what you're personally going through? Like somebody, you might be able to pick somebody else up even when you're in a down moment. So just being able to play off that and finding light in myself and finding encouragement in myself, giving that to others, because nobody knew I was going through what I was going through at that time. Right. So it was like, you know what? I'm going to just focus on the positive and let that be that. And that's what kind of helped me get through those times, is just forcing positivity and forcing the winning mindset. Like I might be losing behind the scenes, but in front of the scenes and to everybody else, they don't need to see that, because I could help anybody at any moment. So
I just want to touch on briefly what you guys both, I mean, we all kind of shared on it, but the importance of your foundation, man. Mm-hmm. Like your upbringing, your parents, what they value and what they instill in you, how that helps, man, when you get to those transition points. Yeah. The core values that you have, I look at them like guardrails, because we all gonna go through those moments in life that shift us and that pull us. And if you got those right guardrails, meaning your values, your faith, you know, confidence, self-worth that comes from home, man, it don't matter how far you shift, you're gonna eventually get back straight on course.
Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest blessings, and I say this for every parent that's watching this, for me, I had the greatest parent blessing of the fact that both my parents knew nothing about sports, mm-hmm. knew nothing about football. Yeah. So when I'm off the field, I'm just ready to go wash the dishes, take out the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't feed into that identity of me being an athlete. They didn't use that as a way to gauge my self-worth. So I never had to prove myself to my parents. I never had to answer to my dad as to why I didn't make this play or anything like that. Like, I knew I was loved regardless, just like you talked about, man. And for every parent that's watching this right now, man, do not build up your child's identity to believe that they have to score, or they have to get the scholarship in order to feel like they're valued. Mm-hmm. Because it is so damaging when it's time to walk away. And I see so many athletes that struggle because, like, that's all they are. And that's who their family and their parents built them up to be from a young age. By the time they're 5 years old, they're already posting highlights. Mm-hmm. And it's wrong, man, because so many of us don't make it. Even if we do make it, how long does it really last?
Right.
You're going to be a person a lot longer than you're going to be an athlete, man. So as a parent, you're doing your child a disservice if you build up their entire identity to just be an athlete and to think all they're good for is just to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had to get that out of my chest.
You get no scholarship at 5 years old in fifth grade anyway.
Well, so, these days, they're gonna be burnt out before then.
Even if you, my thing is, even if you do get it, bro, we all know, even if your name, Tom Brady had to walk away, you know, like.
Yeah, not, like you said, you're a person, like you're a regular person much longer than you are an athlete. Like, focus on that part.
Yes, you that's could my do, favorite
you could
saying.
Do, yeah, you could do both.
Yeah.
It's just, but like you said, that's a big thing to the parents though, making sure that they don't push that on the kids. And I even have to, you know, like myself as a father of a young boy, shoot, he liked to play sports, but I had to make sure, hey man, like, you know, you got your race cars and your dinosaurs too. Like, don't just keep swinging the bat and throwing the ball at me, telling me, let's play catch. I'm like, man, put the batteries in the thing. Let's go ahead and do that too. Like, you might want NASCAR, you know what I'm saying? Because who knows? Like, but I don't want to, like, funnel him in a certain direction or, like, try to, like, where you got to do what I did or you got to try to be better than me.
Right.
Be whatever God called you to be. Like, you might be a doctor, scientist, who knows? The top lawyer in the family, hey, man, whatever. But I just want you to be good at whatever you're doing. Be intentional at what you do, for sure.
Be intentional. The last thing I'm going to say, I tell a lot of my kids, I love the game of basketball. Right. Like, I just fucking love it.
Yeah.
Find a passion in something outside of your sport.
Right.
It's going to take you far in life. My passion was, I was a film major at Rutgers. Like, I like theater. Like, my personality and everything. Like, find you something else that you're passionate and love just as much as your sport, and you'll stay level through life.
Yeah.
Like, that's my biggest, like, advice to anybody. Find you something else that you like to do. If it's Lego, go build goddamn Mercedes-Benz Stadium Lego. You know what I'm saying? Like, find you something else you love, because you get consumed by your sport so much. And you realize that's when you talk about, you don't know your identity.
Right.
Once you're done with it, like, just find you something that you purely, if it's music, dancing, don't let people say, well, you know, you just a basketball player, you just a football player, you need to focus on that. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You've already been blessed with that.
Yeah.
Go find you something else that you can pour yourself in education. Like, I was at school, I was one of them smart, I call myself one of them smart, not dumb, but like, I was intelligent. I did enough to get by, but like I'm really smart.
Yeah.
But I knew like basketball was like my focus. I just sometimes did enough to get by until I got to college. And I realized, damn, it's cool to be smart.
Yeah.
I can go study with you. Oh, you wanna go study?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool to get your education. And get your education in something that's gonna help you throughout life. Cause I know a lot of people struggling right now. And I'd be like, what you want? They done playing. Dang, what was your major? I majored in criminal justice. What you want to do with that? I don't really want to do nothing with that.
Okay. So
and we go to college. Some colleges point you in that direction. Like, make sure you take control of your own life, too.
Yeah.
Because then you can go to school on scholarship and they say, well, you know what? We practice during this time. You can't take that class.
Right.
Let's change that major. Make sure you know what you want to do. Because what I'm doing now, like, even like with my Slush Talk and my training and all that, I went to school and I learned about that, like business and like communication classes and all that. So I tell kids all the time, make sure you get your education in what you really care about, and don't be just taking no BS because you just want to have your GPA together.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. You know a lot now than what you did when you was doing it. Because if I could change the hands of time, I would have majored in something else. I did just enough to make sure I was eligible to play, to make sure I got to school. I did just enough. But then when I got to school, I started thinking about other stuff, like college. Like, basketball just went. It just wasn't just basketball no more. You know, I'm playing track. I was, like I said, I was better in track. We won everything in track. But the difference with our upbringing, I feel like my dad made me play basketball. But I hated it my first year. I was like, man, I suck. Like, I hated it. But he put that in me the very next year. I was topping everything in basketball. Like, nobody could tell me nothing, you know? But if my dad didn't do that, I wouldn't even have had the passion I've had for basketball all the way up until I retired. But now you can't make me go dribble no more. Get it away from me.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? Because once you take a step back from playing, it's like, I don't care for basketball no more. Like, I care enough to coach some pros, because I don't want to deal with nobody else's kids.
Right.
They don't listen. Like, the way they got things going on these days, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
The transfer portal, the messed up dedication, the people do what they want. They go to a new college every year. They play as soon as they transfer. Like, it ain't no getting it in the dirt no more. It ain't no, oh, we riding for our school, because you make somebody mad, they're going to just transfer to your rival.
Ain't no consequence.
You know, it ain't nothing. And it's causing kids not to work as hard.
Yep.
Because now kids are getting that bag in college.
Oof. You know what I'm saying? When you're giving kids money so young, they what they got to look for? Now they want to play 4 years because they're going to get more money in college than when they go to the pros. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I just think that even though my dad pushed basketball on me is why I loved it. And then I didn't want to go home. I just wanted to people. I love people. I like to talk. So I was like, I don't want to go home, you know? So I just jumped in everything else. Volleyball, track, ended up being better in track. And then it was just like one of them things, like, what we doing, what we doing, what we doing? And my dad was my biggest fan. I can say that. Made me do the trumpet. I said, man, I don't want to play no trumpet. Then I ended up being in the symphonic band, one of the best ones. You know, but I can really say I'm a girl dad because if it wasn't for my pops, I wouldn't be who I am today because I see how he moved and I kind of mimic him.
Yeah.
You know, so
dude.
I think that it's easy to tell somebody something now because you done went through life. But when you in that prime, when you young, can't nobody tell you nothing.
Nah, that's real.
You know that. Like, can't nobody tell you nothing. But I think I'm more one of those people now that I would go to the younger people, hey, look. And I even give them my story, look. Let me tell you what we was doing. We was running the streets. We was doing, going to Waffle House, going to East West Connect movies. We doing all this. That none of that mean nothing. I don't hang with none of them folks no more.
All right.
I might talk to two just to see what they doing because I'm nosy.
That's what Facebook for.
Yeah. Right. You got your Facebook friend. You got your Instagram friend. But I might just chop it up just to see what they doing. But I ain't going to hold you. I will drive past my high school or drive past the movies. Because it made me feel like, dang, man, I was 12 years old. I had no responsibility.
Yeah.
All I had to do was show up.
Right.
And now it's like the weight, the world is on your shoulders. You gotta provide for somebody.
Yeah. You grown. We grown.
Yeah, we grown.
You wanted to be grown so fast.
All right.
Sports was different when you just did it for yourself, but it's crazy because now y'all are parents. I'm probably the only one, me and Slush, probably the only one that don't have no kids up here.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I refuse, sound crazy. I refuse to bring a child in this world right now with how this world going. I would rather just be a stepmom or something like
I'm
that.
Cool
because I'm the coolest auntie.
I want to be the team
yeah. mom with no kids. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, I just refuse and I refuse to settle.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody come with something, but I don't have to buy what you're selling. I always say that I don't have to buy what you sell. I don't have to pick up what you're putting down because if it don't align with what I got going on, I can't do it.
Mm.
I just go to the crib with Oreo, the cat. You know, y'all know Oreo. So the thing is, it's just, I just can't. I'm in a space where people will sell you a dream today. And just like college, they will transfer on you in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Because they see something else. They like something else. They spark something else. And the way I'm at, I would just rather just be with my family. Like my, I think we take advantage, and we take what's the word I'm looking for? We take granted.
Take it for granted.
We take for granted tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised.
Wow.
So if I'm one of the biggest people, Kenny, know if I tell you I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
If I say, hey, this is what we about to do, I don't care what it's gonna take to get done, it's gonna get done.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So my thing is. Oh, tomorrow. I hate when somebody say, and I told somebody I was selling somebody something. I said, what's the difference between today and tomorrow? Your check is a check. The money going to hit? Or what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to do this, like, you know what? Let me just send you a contract and get that okay. And then make it hit your account 5 days later. You know what I'm saying? Or we'll process it in 5 days. Because you're either going to do it or not. You know what I'm saying? So I think I'm big on relationships. I'm big on people being transparent. I'm big on, and I really hold you to the T. Like, if you tell me something, I'm going to go off of what you say. And a minute, because people are going to disappoint you every day. But if you're trying and you can't, that's different. You know, but if you say you're going to do something and you don't, I appreciate all y'all coming up here. Because y'all all told me y'all was coming.
That was far.
It was fine. Randy hit me and said, you going to send me some gas money? I said, bro, right. What?
Hey, this is a journey.
Invoice. Send an invoice over.
But I think that
send an invoice.
That's big because I'm telling you, like, you don't get it. Because I done been through everybody's shoes. I done walked everybody's shoes. I done worked. I done played sports. I worked a corporate job. I'm an entrepreneur now. And everything I do, I did it and done it and still trying to do. Did movies, acted, everything. Like, it ain't too much I didn't do, but the one thing I do want to do, before I get done with my life is retire my folks. That's it. That's my goal of 2025 is to do it by any means necessary to retire my folks. You know, my dad got a dog named Scrappy. He died last week, had him for 12 years, and that was his best friend. Mm. And I be calling him like, you all right? Man, what you mean? Everybody gotta go. My mama called me, your daddy in there sad, playing all the music him and Scrappy used to listen to. I said, what? Like, but Scrappy, like a pet will show you who your best friend is because everywhere you go, they following you. Mm. It's just like your kids. Everywhere you go, they want to mimic you. And I think that, honestly.
They become teenagers.
Yeah. And I think that we as people just need to be better people.
Yeah.
Because when you show, it ain't but a handful of genuine people you probably going to meet in your life. And if you meet more than that, God bless you.
For real.
You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, you got to show kids the path. And I'm not saying anybody perfect because I didn't drink, smoke, went out last night. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, I do be sitting back, kind of like you, Todd, and I be like, Why am I doing this? Something ain't right. Like, either I'm not happy or I'm depressed somewhere. What's going on? And then I just start watching Tubi. You know, so it's just like, I be trying to figure out. I'm a real thinker. Like, I be like,
just having them little short spurts where you say, I'm looking in the mirror. Like, you know, people always say you got to look in the mirror. Like,
really
don't look in the mirror.
Really don't do it. Like, you actually go do it.
Yeah, I think that. Life is just, we take life for granted. And I think that when my dad's dog died last week, how I see how he is now, he just looked sad. Like, he would always say, I want to move and just get a dog, get a house with me and my dog on a farm. We like, where everybody else going? what? Me and the dog about to go get a house. Like, what? And his friend died.
Yeah.
You know, it made me just look at people different too.
Yeah. Got to cherish life, man.
Yes,
got to cherish life.
I would play this thing called The Game, but in respect for this conversation, we ain't gonna do that because ain't no telling what's in that can. So so I want y'all to say what you got going on, your IG, what you doing, and where they can find you.
All right. Well, I am the founder and head coach of the Academy Prep. It is a nonprofit that I run out of Sewanee, Georgia. We're on the north side of town. A great group of kids, great staff. We started a great program that's impacting a lot of kids.
Y'all rank what this year?
We're currently ranked number 33 in the nation. Shout out to my squad. Great team, great staff, partners, and everybody else who was involved. I appreciate everybody who's helped us to get to this point because it's not just me. The guy talking to you in the camera. You can follow me personally on Instagram at KennyGaines12, and it's on Twitter too. And then our team Instagram is the Academy Prep GA, and that's on Instagram and also on Twitter as well. And you can check out our website. Shout out Mr. Will McNeely, who updates it daily. We try to stay current. So yeah.
Well, Slush, I got a lot going on right now. I got like 12 Instagrams. I got my clothing line, Sykes and Rennie, at Sykes and Rennie on Instagram. I got my Slush Pro, at Slush Pro 24 is my training page. I do a lot of consulting work. I help people run their camps. I mentor kids. I help athletes transition into being a professional, into a college student, et cetera. Now I just started my own podcast, Let's Talk, the What Are We Doing podcast, because I really be want to know what people be doing out here. And I got a lot of questions. Like, I'm very intentional with, like, what are we doing? So, y'all make sure y'all follow at Let's Talk, What Are We Doing pod on Instagram. It's going to be a lot of content and, like, my perspective on how I feel about where the game is going, just entrepreneurship and just the empowerment of our game, especially the women's game, and how it's elevating right now. So I'm going to be giving my input on that. And, you know, I think I could... Oh, my personal page is at Slush24. It's just Slush, Sykes24. You put in Slush, you're going to find me, all right?
So for me, my main bread and butter is I am a keynote speaker. And corporate trainer. So I speak on leadership, teamwork, high performance to companies, associations from every industry, healthcare, education, financial services, government, and then also schools, of course, through the school assemblies, district leadership, convocations, graduations, all that. I'm actually speaking, which is crazy. Just God is just good, is all I can say. But I'm going to be the convocation speaker, graduation speaker for the Terry College of Business for Georgia.
Bro.
This May.
Yeah, I seen that, yeah.
Crazy, bro. Crazy. Yeah.
Dang, that's hard.
Crazy, right. So that's my main bread and butter. Outside of that, I'm also a certified high-performance leadership coach. So I work with entrepreneurs, I work with executives, and I mainly help them with personal development. So anything from goal setting, time management, work-life balance, personal branding, and then public speaking if they either want to overcome the fear or they want to just do it as an actual career and monetize it. And then the last thing that I do is I have a membership community called the Sports and Business Network, where I bring together athletes and business leaders to create opportunities for connection, collaboration, and empowerment. So we do networking events. We also have the online community where we exchange job opportunities, internship opportunities, and we just try to empower each other because I feel like we don't leverage each other enough. Sure. Like, it's a lot of us, man. I tell athletes this all the time. We spent our whole entire lives on a team, and then when we get out, we try to be lone ranger,
right.
Isolate ourselves and try to take things on. So I'm trying to create a community where we can really recreate our team and just, I don't care where you play that, Rutgers or wherever, we all got to shit. No knock against y'all. But wherever you play that, whatever sport you play that, we all got a shared experience.
Yeah.
We all know the grind. We all know the transition. So, and then we're all trying to make it, man. So why not leverage each other? And then we got businesses that want to work with us. They know the cloth that we're cut from. And a lot of them want to hire athletes and they want to be in the same rooms with us. So that's what I'm also trying to create as well. My most important job is I'm a father. My daughter's 16 years old now, which is crazy. She plays volleyball. So yeah, just trying to be the best man for her. And like you talked about your dad, just trying to give her the blueprint for life and what to expect from a man as well. My Instagram is at Rennie Curran. My website is RennieCurran.com. So, yeah.
Got you. Yeah, you can find me on what, X, Twitter, TG3, and find me on Instagram, TG400. But then also you can find the foundation, Official Made Foundation. Made stands for making a difference every day. Stay tuned for that for 2025. Revamping the website right now. So what else sure. got going on? Doing a lot of NFL. International ambassadorship, so dope. I've been traveling doing that.
Put me on, bro. Right.
You're my friend, my girl Tracy. What else? Just new dad, so been doing that, balancing that. Been
loving that. We love fathers, man.
And obviously, all the tragic wildfires out there in LA. So I just want to send my prayers to everybody out there. You know, that was impacted for that. But really, just want to just this new year, keep inspiring the youth, because
need the youth, man.
They need it.
You know, it kind of goes back like the conversation we were just having, like stuff shifted, but like they the future, you know what I mean? So just being able to instill everything that we learned. And I love the way that how you was breaking stuff down, like going to the kids, like, yo, you can be better, but you can do this. So I'm like, damn, yo, I need to really be doing that too, and just sitting back. So really just reaching out a lot more to younger guys in my situations, because what's the point of a Todd Gurley if you can't reach up and pick that phone? And like, because I see a lot of situations where I might have been in that situation, or a lot of us been in them situations. So definitely been doing a lot better with that, of just like, yo, you gonna hear this. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna hear this whether you wanted to, but I'm like, I gotta let you know.
Yeah.
And let guys know, like, yo, prepare for this future, whether it's disability, whatever that, when you're done with the lead, or making sure you seeing these therapists, making sure you writing everything, you going to rehab, you doing this, that way it's on file. So when you get done, they can't play with you. You know what I'm saying? Everything is on file. Yeah. So being able to just
give them the game.
Get that game, but it's like, that's why we here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why we here.
It really is.
That's pretty much it though. But yeah. I appreciate y'all just chopping it up today. Thank you for having me on. You really are people to network, because you know my homie Co, and he was like, yo, you should go on a drink. So I'm like, all right, bet. I got you. Yeah,
word of mouth.
I will tell all of y'all this, that you never know just your conversation
or who you are as a person, you reach out to the right person, that would change their whole life. All it took was, it came from you.
Right.
Because you don't know what you are to people, what you mean to people. Mm. Even your smile could change somebody's whole day. You know, I didn't see people, you know, especially with mental health, and, you know, Slush is big on mental health. We didn't see people off themselves because they had a bad day. But they were going through so much this whole time, and it took something else that happened, and they didn't off themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's big for me even now. That's why I speak to kids more, because I'm like, bro, y'all don't know what I've seen, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and if I could share my story with someone, because I got the hardest story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went from a big school, a big high school that wasn't, the coach wasn't really helping us like that, you know? And I had to keep pushing. I never averaged that many points. Not in high school, but I was a dog on defense. And that's why I got every job overseas.
Mm.
Because I did what nobody else wanted to do.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't find too many, they used to call me the Bruce Bowen of my era. Yeah, that's what they call me. So it just kind of like, when I knew that it was going to be tough for me because of my height, I had to just do something else. You know, and I was like, okay, well, we about to figure this out, you know? But I think it's just important when you're talking to people every day, just kind of be mindful of, you don't know what somebody going through. Even if somebody snap on you, give somebody grace, because you don't know what they just went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will say that. I want to thank y'all for coming on. This episode was sponsored by my boy Joey Riggs. He's a big Georgia fan. With Movement Mortgage.
So I'm getting gas money. So is that what we're saying?
Yeah. I wasn't talking about Jordan Riggs Movement. Jordan Riggs and Movement Mortgage. We appreciate you, King. Big Lex, The Reality Table. Follow, subscribe, like. Instagram, The Reality Table. TikTok, if it's still up right now, The Reality Table. Facebook, The Reality Table. Instagram, Alexia Adams 24. I know what time it is. Georgia, in the building, The Reality Table signing out. Rutgers.
I just want to say shout out to Brand X for letting us use their facility as well. Appreciate y'all, Miss Nikki and Mr. Fritz. This was amazing. I know this was a last minute call. Oh, I'm going to this one. I appreciate y'all. This was a last minute call and y'all made it happen. So thank you so much. I definitely appreciate our partnership.
Yeah, you know what? That was messed up on me. Brand X. You know, off where we at? Fulton Industrial?
Yeah, Fulton
Industrial. Come by, you know, tell them The Reality Table sent you, a.k.a. Kenny Gaines. You know, we do appreciate y'all. Get the book, Free Agent.
Hey.
Sports Academy Slush Pro. Miss Brand New is the owner of Brand X. You know, make sure y'all get that in with Miss Nikki. You know, tell her we sent you, man. Like, subscribe, follow us. Georgia, signing out.
The shouting makes the pain with the passion. Yeah. Shout out to the trip, I exhale. Yeah. She just fell in love, think it's magic. Anything you want, I made it happen. Learn from the past, left the past.